The computer industry is taking over the world, of course. If you don't believe it, ask the computer industry or try to buy something. And one of the things that happens is that there's always somebody trying to hack the system. What system? Every system. And so they think up ways to make it more secure, they think. And one of them is a thing called CAPTCHA. Yeah. And CAPTCHA is a thing that so far blind people haven't been able to use. Dr. Jonathan Lazar is the director of the Universal Usability Laboratory at the Department of Computer and Information Sciences at Towson University in Maryland. And he is working on a system that may be able to make this security process more accessible to the blind. Here is Dr. Jonathan Lazar.
Good morning, Dr. Welcome back. How are you? Thank you. Good to be back. Good morning, everybody. How are you doing?
Good morning.
I love the reaction to the CAPTCHA. He says CAPTCHA, and you all go, boo. I agree with you. That's what we're working on. Well, at Towson University, we've actually partnered for a number of years with the National Federation of the Blind to do research projects related to computer interface issues for blind users. It's exactly what Dr. Maurer is saying. People say, you know, these things are impossible. You have to have security features. You can't make them accessible. You know what? You can make them accessible. You can make them usable. The key is finding the solutions. So I have to tell you, one of the favorite times of my entire life was actually my last presentation at the National Federation of the Blind Convention in 2005. You might remember in 2005, I gave a talk about computer frustration, where I talked about a study of 100 blind users who took part studying what frustrates people on the web. And one of my favorite findings from the data, and you know, I just report data, but it was so exciting from that study that blind users were more effective than visual users in responding to frustrations on the web. Well, today I want to talk about a specific frustration. I want to talk about CAPTCHAs. Yeah, you can feel free to boo, it's okay. Boo. But we're going to make it better. Yeah. A CAPTCHA is actually an acronym for a completely automated public Turing test to tell computers and humans apart. Yeah, it's kind of a dorky acronym, isn't it? Well, you just probably know them better as annoying and frustrating. The idea, though, is that these are software tools designed to separate out who is a human and who is a computer. Now, let me tell you, that's what the researchers say. These tools determine who is a human and who is a computer. In reality, it determines who can see and who can't. It's not about being human, it's about being able to see, right? And that's the thing that a lot of these researchers don't understand. The idea is that computer bots and viruses can sign up for email accounts and clog systems, and so they've created these things called CAPTCHAs, which are also known as human interaction proofs, or HIPs, to stop those bots. Now, CAPTCHAs actually are not that effective. They don't work all the time in terms of stopping the bots and the viruses, and they don't work all the time for determining who actually is a human. Right? So a lot of the companies we talk with, though, they say, yeah, we know these tools aren't perfect, we know they're not accessible, but you know what? They're the best thing we have. Right? They say, this is what they say. They say they're the best thing we have, it stops some of the viruses and the bots, and that's not good enough, though. It has to work for people, because not only are you stopping some bots and viruses, but you're also stopping people. You're stopping blind people. You're stopping people who want to use these systems and can't use them. So a CAPTCHA, also it's often known as a twisted text CAPTCHA. What it is, it's a picture of letters or numbers which have a lot of background clutter and background noise. So, you know, it may have, let's say, the letters and numbers R3B6, and there's a lot of sort of dots in the background. And so the idea is that a visual user can see through all of that background clutter, but a computer bot or a virus can't. And of course, a blind user can't. Now, if you ask some people, they say, no, it's okay. We have audio CAPTCHAs. How many people here really like audio captures? No. Right? Exactly. First of all, most sites don't have audio captures, right? Only a few sites actually use them. When an audio captcha, for those of you who are already booing and know, what you have basically is a series of letters or numbers that are read with a lot of background noise and clutter. And again, the idea is that a human can filter out the background noise, but a computer bot can't. Well, we had heard that there are many problems related to online security for blind users, and we started just by doing a focus group at NFB. And the goal of the focus group was to learn more about what these problems are, which, you know, I always say, figure out what the problems are and then tackle the hardest ones first. Now, we finished this focus group. We came up with a top 10 list of security problems. Today, we're going to talk about captchas, but if anyone wants a list of the security-related problems for blind users, just please send me an email. I'll be happy to send you a full report. Now, the number one problem cited in this focus group, as you probably can guess, it was captchas. Right? And one of the inherent problems with captchas is that a lot of times we say, anytime you're doing anything on the web, make sure you make it accessible, put in the back-end equivalent code, put in the alt text. Well, by definition, you can't put alt text, you can't put alternative text into a captcha. Because by definition, then, a bot could read the alt text and could break the captcha. So you tell people to make captchas accessible, and they say, well, we can't. Right? They're not thinking outside of the box. The idea is that everyone has trouble with captchas. People who can see have trouble with captchas. Right? And we had heard informally from the blind users that we work with, they said, you know what, the audio captchas, they're also very problematic. So we decided to start with a usability test to learn more about the problems that users have with audio captchas. So we started with a typical audio captcha from the ReCAPTCHA project up at Carnegie Mellon. We had six blind users taking part in the usability testing of the audio captcha, and we had each user actually do five audio captchas. Now, interestingly enough, audio captchas, which, you know, your typical company says, we use audio captchas and that's why blind people can use it. Yeah, you're laughing because you already know what I'm about to say. We actually found that only 46% of the audio captchas could be successfully completed by blind users. 46%. Yeah. And the average time spent on correct attempts, the average time to correctly complete an audio captcha was 65 seconds. What made it more interesting is that the only people who really were able to successfully complete the audio captchas, the only blind users, were people who were also using Braille note takers, and at the time that they were listening to the audio captchas, they were taking notes with their Braille note taker. Right? That's, how many people does that apply to? If that's you, go ahead and clap. Okay, so basically a below 50% success rate. It takes on average more than a minute, and the only way to successfully complete it is to take notes while doing the captcha using a note taker. Clearly, audio captchas are not usable for blind users. I always love presenting here. Now, so we know that visual captchas are inaccessible. We know that audio captchas don't work well. So we decided we're going to try to develop some new versions of captchas that are more usable for blind users, right, are equally usable for people who can see, and are just as secure. So we decided to start developing a new captcha. We actually decided to call it HIPU, the Human Interaction Proof Universally Usable. Two reasons. First of all, we like the idea of a little hippo, you know? Gotta have a cool little mascot for anything. And also, captcha is actually a trademark. We believe, based on what we found, that it's actually trademarked. So we're calling our project HIPU. And the idea, again, is that we can try developing a captcha, or a human interaction proof called HIPU, that is just as easy to use for visual users as the old ones, much more easy for blind users, and just as secure. And this way we can show developers and we can show companies and organizations out there that, you know what, there is an accessible way to do this. Don't just say we can't put alt text on our captcha, therefore it can't be done. There are better ways to use this. So the first version of HIPU actually is a combination of non-textual images and sounds. So for instance, we have an image of a dog and we have a sound clip of a dog barking. The idea being that if you are blind, you can use the sound clip, right? If you have hearing impairment, you can use the picture of the dog. But because it's non-textual, right? Because it's basically pictures and sound clips, It's actually more secure because, for instance, image recognition is much better at recognizing text. You know, how many different ways can you have the letter P than dogs, where you could have, let's say, 3,000 different sound clips of dogs, but as humans, we can recognize the dog sound clips. So we had, for instance, a picture of a dog and a sound clip of a dog, and you can use either one. Or a picture of a piano and a sound clip of a piano. And we use combinations from transportation, animals, weather, and musical instruments. We start with things that are easy to identify, right? And again, just basic things. We're not going to say, is it an acoustic guitar versus an electric guitar? You know, is it a Martin? Is it a Fender? Is it a Gibson? You know, I can't tell the difference. I was a cheap garage sale guitar. I can't tell the difference. So we had to pick things that were easy for everyone to identify. And what happens is that when you hear the sound clip, you then must choose the correct answer. We started with a small list of choices, but we included ones that actually were not part, we didn't have any sound clips for. To make it more secure, there were just a lot of choices. So, and after the third, if there was a third incorrect answer, the user would automatically be locked out of the HIPAA. Right, which is very typical for CAPTCHAs and security features. You know, you have three tries for your password, you have three tries for a CAPTCHA. But again, the idea is it should be much easier to use and actually more secure. So we did a usability test of the first version of HIPAA with 5 blind users and 5 visual users, each completing 15 different tasks. So we really had a lot of tasks there. First, the interesting thing, right? Visual users had 100% task success rate. Users who could see were very successful, but they actually liked this better than the traditional Twisted Text CAPTCHA. Right? They don't like those CAPTCHAs either. And when we had the blind users test it, the blind users had actually a 90% success rate, 90.6%, on the first try. 90% on the first try. And on the second try, it actually went up to 100%. And the average task completion time was 35.2 seconds. Right? So this new HIPAA that we created, keep in mind the success rate was doubled compared to an audio CAPTCHA, the old audio CAPTCHA, and the time it took to successfully complete it was 50% less. So instead of 46% success rate in 65 seconds, with this one, with HIPAA, they completed it 90% of the time successfully in only 35 seconds. Right? So blind users preferred this one. The visual users also preferred this one. This worked out much better than both the audio CAPTCHAs and the visual Twisted Text CAPTCHAs. So this first proof of concept seemed to work well for HIPAA, for both blind users and visual users. We're actually in the process right now of developing a second prototype, a more robust version, right? One of the things we're going to do is actually introduce some sound delays, because one of the problems is that sometimes the screen reader can overlap a little bit with the actual, you know, the clip of the dog or the piano or of Ring. So we're working a little bit on modifying sound delays. We're adding many more sound and image combinations than the original ones we did in the first proof of concept. And there's actually a good reason for that, for adding many more and for one of the other things we're going to do. Right? One of the arguments that I guarantee you you'll get is they say, well, you know what? CAPTCHA has an unlimited, if you use a visual CAPTCHA, there's an unlimited set. You can make it very secure. You can have an unlimited set of choices. Well, one of the things we're working on this version is greatly increasing the number of choices. So we're adding many more sound and image combinations, but also we're asking users to respond to multiple sound combinations. So rather than just hearing a dog, you could get, for instance, a clip of a dog barking, then you have a clip of a piano, then you have a clip of, let's say, rain. So dog, piano, rain. Well, just with those three sound clips then, think about how many combinations you could have. Dog, rain, piano, dog. And you know what? It's still going to be a lot easier to remember dog, rain, piano than it is one of those audio CAPTCHAs where you have to remember C58AG392QBAC. So we actually are working on addressing that issue related to the CAPTCHAs, right? We're adding more security features. We're trying to make it more stable. And we're working towards something that companies can look at and say, hey, there is a way to do this. There is a way to have security features that also are accessible and easy to use for blind users. We're actually hoping to have the prototype done by the end of the summer, and we're hoping to recruit 20 individuals in the Baltimore, Washington area who are blind to take part in the usability testing of the new prototype. And we can actually, if you've gotten an email or call from me before, you know that if you give us your time, we pay you for your participation. So, hey, your time is valuable. So, if you're interested in taking part in the usability testing and you live in the Baltimore, Washington area, get ready to take an email address. What I want you to do is send an email to the following email address. TowsonNFB, so that's TowsonNFB, at gmail.com, the Google Mail. So TowsonNFB at gmail.com. Leave us your contact information. We will pay for participation. And hopefully by the end of the summer, we'll be working on that. And again, the idea with more data and data from usability testing like this, the more people you get involved, the more testing you do, right? Hopefully we can work with more organizations and companies and convince them that you can have security features, but they can be accessible security features. And the next time that you talk to someone, you talk to a company, you say, you know, I'm trying to use this thing, it doesn't work, it's inaccessible, you shouldn't do this. And they say, sorry, there's nothing you can do. Say, wait a minute. There are other options. There are ways to make these things accessible, and your imagination is just limited. You need to think bigger. You need to make this accessible. You need to use it. You need to make it happen for blind users. Okay, because CAPTCHAs are not a perfect tool. Okay, all the researchers know that. They're not a perfect tool, and companies say, well, you know what? It's the best we've got. Tell them that there are other options and their best simply isn't enough. Thank you very much.
Yay! Thank you, Dr. Maurer.
Great to have you back.
Thank you. Always have fun.
Yay!
You can tell why it's so good to have him back.
Yeah.
We have one more way to tell the companies who tell us it can't be done. You've lost your mind.